Okay, we continue to learn this month. L'zchus ha'refuah shleima for Baruch ben Chaya, and today's learning in particular is dedicated li'ili nishmas for Yaakov Moshe Lessin, our mashgiach. They didn't put the name. Okay, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Lessin, al v'shalom. So we learn in his memory as well. So the pasuk tells us in our parsha, Paras Kedoshim. So we're gonna try to learn the sugya of Lav Shebechlaus. Lav Shebechlaus is an endless sugya, mamish, endless sugya. I couldn't even fit the main Mar Makomos on the page, which are the Rambam and the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvos. I couldn't even fit them. So we're basically saying the things that we know, most of us know from the base message already, outside, but you'll have to look up so much of it inside if you want. But the sugya is endless. We're not even talking about, you know, Lav Shebechlaus in terms of Minyan HaMitzvos. We're talking about one particular aspect of Lav Shebechlaus, but hopefully something good that will come out more clear. So the pasuk tells us in our parsha, Lo Sechul Al Hadam, Lo Sinachshu Lo Se'anenu. The pasuk says that you can't. Well, no idea what it means. You can't eat on the blood. So what does it mean? You can't eat on the blood. It sounds yeshivish, but it doesn't really. It's not clear exactly what it means, which is what makes it sound so yeshivish. So Rashi says, Lo Sechul Al Hadam, Laharbe Panim Nidrash Bim Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has many drushes for this. Don't eat from Basar Kachim until you've done the Zrika. Don't eat a Behemas Chulin before you've made sure that it's dead while it's still Mafarkes. And there's still more of those interpretations that will come back to Bli Neder. But what's the Pshutosh Migra? What's the Pasuk actually talking about? So you look in source one, in the Ramban says that there is only one literal interpretation. There's only one Alderech HaPshat over here. The Alderech HaPshat, the Pasuk refers to this occult practice where sorcerers would shecht an animal and they would let the blood seep into some pit. They would gather around there and have a kumzitz. And when they were eating and having their kumzitz and having a tish around the pit of blood, so they, according to their beliefs at least, they would be revealed some spirits, would tell them what's going on in the future. They would be darish asidos through this funny practice of kishuf, So, interestingly, the Rashbam says a similar but different. He says the Pshuta Shemekra is about also a chukas goyim, where they would eat by the kever of someone who was murdered, and by eating by the kever of someone who was murdered, they would hope to make sure that this guy wouldn't take revenge against them, and there was some other sorcery purpose that he lists there as well. So either the Ramban and the Rashbam, both of them have this idea that this was some chukas akum that they would do as a form of kishuf, that they would sit around a pit of blood and eat, lo sochul al hadam, don't eat in this area next to the blood that this blood comes its. So according to these understandings, the Hemshech HaPsukim is beautiful, it's glad, it reads very smoothly. Lo sochul al hadam. So there's a million other yisurim that we're going to learn about. You can't eat before davening. Okay, you can't eat before davening. Lo sinachshav lo se'anenu. What does eating before davening have to do with lo sinachshav lo se'anenu? Or, you know, you can't, if you're a bezdin that just killed one of the haruge bezdin, you can't eat all day. Lo sinachshav lo se'anenu. What shaykh is one to the other? But like this with the Ramban, with the Rashbam, if the Pshutosh HaMikra is that this was some nichush, some kish of practice, so it's very good. Lo sochel adam, lo sinachshav, lo se'anenu. Three of these chukas goyim practices of their sorcerers listed in one pasuk, so it goes very smoothly. The Chizkuni makes that point. The Chizkuni on the pasuk, the Nitziv also says this, that it reads very smoothly once you have this understanding. So Rashi mentions that there are multiple other isurim that are nichlal, that are included within the pasuk. Don't eat sar kachim before zrika, don't eat the animal before it's actually died, and many others, Rashi says. So we know sudas havra, there's no sudas havra for relatives of haruge beistin. Dayanim, who have just adjudicated a case that ended up in the death of the person who was being judged, they can't eat all day long. And we know from last year, the Azhar for the Ben Sora Mora also comes from this pasuk. And like I mentioned earlier, eating before Shacharis, Minatora or Midarabanan, unclear, comes from this pasuk as well. So you have five, six Isurim here that are jumping off of this one little pasuk that doesn't really make any sense in the Pshutosh HaMikra that we need the Ramban to explain to us what it means. So once you understand what it means, whichever one is the Pshutosh HaMikra, let's say like the Ramban, this, you know, practice of the Gayim, so how do you get to the other Isurim? How do you get from there to all the other Isurim? How do you learn these other things from the pasuk? So the Mefarshim spend time explaining the Tzara Shava between them. You look in the Maharal and other places, they explain the Tzara Shava between the different Isurim. But if you look in the Torah Tamima, he has five isurim that come out of the pasuk, and he explains how each one is very, very gishmak. Each one of them comes from the word al, meaning the word al here, leisechul al hadam. The word al can be interpreted in up to five different ways, and if you interpret it in those five different ways, it'll come out these five halachos. So, for example, before the animal dies, you're not allowed to eat the food. While it's being mefarkes, you have to wait till the animal actually dies. Why? Because the pasuk says lo sochu al hadam. Says the Torah mima al means im hadam, and he gives examples of this. According to some of Farshim, that's by Avo Hanashim al Hanashim, right? That according to some Farshim, there's a dispute in the Farshim there. But the word al sometimes means im, together with. So while the animal still has its blood, don't eat it yet. Or don't eat before Zrika. Al Hadam, says the Torah Tmima, means Eitzel Hadam. You know, the way Chazal phrased it is that you can't eat the animal while... Sorry, you can't... you can't eat the animal, the karban, while the dam is still bimizrak. It doesn't say before you do zrika, it says while the dam is still in the mizrak, which implies that there's blood in front of you, that you're near the blood, and you're not allowed to eat the animal yet until you've spritzed the blood. So al means eitzel. When you're eitzel the blood, don't eat the animal yet. No sudas havra for haruge based in that. The krovim don't get a sudas havra. So the Torah Tmim says, al hadam, al dvar hadam. There's no meal when it's on account of death. When it's on account of someone being murdered, there's no meal of lo sochlu, there's no sudas havra. The fact that dayanim don't eat on the day after they've killed someone in Beis Din, al hadam, he says, means achar hadam, like al olas hatamid. Al sometimes means after something happened, you do something else. So lo sochlu, al hadam, after you've shechted someone, after you've committed, you've given them the mises Beis Din, don't eat any food for that day. And lastly, the Ben Sora Mora, al hadam, lo sochlu al hadam, al means el. And you have this, like, I forget exactly, the pasuk goes about tispala chana al Hashem, or something along those lines. I don't know if it's tispal or what? Aliba. I thought there's one to al Hashem. And al Hashem doesn't mean on Hashem, it means to Hashem. She talks to Hashem. So don't eat a type of achila that's going to be maybe lidei dam. So the Ben Sura Mor is told, don't eat this ravenous, achila that you're stealing and you're drinking, and you're doing it in a terrible way. That's sofo lelastimis abrios and laharog, to be a murderer. Lo sochlu al hadam. Don't eat an achila that leads to killing. So it's pretty amazing. All of the drashas come out of the word al, that there are different ways to interpret it, and you have five yisurim that come out from one set of words. Okay, because all of these psukim, these dinim, come out of one pasuk, this one little pasuk of Le'soch La'adam, so because of that, the Gemara in Sanhedrin famously calls it, you have in source number 2 on Samach Gimel, a lav shebech lalos. And the Gemara says quite clearly over here that a lav shebech lalos gets no malchus. If you have a lav shebech lalos, there are no malchus. Why not? Why does a lav shebech lalos not get any malchus? So that is subject to a debate in the Rishonim. The one thing that's clear, which is almost always the case with malchus, is that it's not dumya de lav de chasima, like the Gemara in Malchus tells us. Gimel, that you need a lav to be similar to the classic lav, the classic isra of lav de chasim, lo sachsum shor disho, in order to give malchus. So in this instance of lav shvachlos, it's not similar to lav de chasima. Why? What's different about it? What's the inukuda? So the Ramban, in his hasagos to Sefer HaMitzvos, the whole discussion, like I said before, takes place in Shorish Test of the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. So the Ramban, in his hasagos, says that a lav shvachlos is dissimilar to a lav de chasima in that it includes multiple isurim. Lav de chasima is lo sachsom shor b'disho. There's one iser over here. Lav shebichlalos is lo sochlu al dam, which means six different things. So when you have a lav that includes so many different things, a lav that's kolel, so many different things, that's different. That's so unique. It's so different from, it's dissimilar to lav de chasima. So you can't get malchus for it. A lav which is inclusive of many isurim doesn't receive malchus, says the Ramban. And the Ramban assumes it's a davar pashut. This is not pashut, but he assumes it's a davar pashut. That once you say that, like our Gemara did say, lav shebichlalos ain lokin al lav shebichlalos. And if you look at the last line, al kulam ain aloka. The Ramban assumes that's the rule. That if you have a lav shebichlalos, a lav that includes many things, none of them get malchus, because there's no room to distinguish between different things. As long as it's a lav which includes many things, then all of the lavim are a lav shebichlalos, and therefore you don't get malchus. That's the Ramban's assumption, because it's kolal, because it includes so many different things. However, if you look in the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, there in Shorash Tess, he offers what seems to be a different explanation. We're going to go with this for the rest of the time, but we'll say it outside. So he says that a lav shebichlalos, I'll say it this way, a lav shebichlalos might include one lav that's clear, and then X amount of lavim that are less clear. That might be true. The lav shebichlalos might include one iser that's pshut al shemikra, and then multiple other yisurim that are nichlalim, that are included through Torah Shebal Peh. There are drushas, al means a million different things. But there's one pshut al shemikra in the pasuk, and there's a bunch of different Torah Shebal Pehs. That one core iser in pshut al shemikra is subject to malchus. If you find of that bunch, now we'll see in a second whether we have that here, if you find of that bunch of yisurim that one of them is mefurish b'kra and the rest of them are limudim, then the one that's mefurish b'kra, the one that's explicit in the pasuk, does get malchus. But all of the additional lavin, all of the ones that are additional levels of interpretation from the Torah Shebal Peh, those don't get malchus. Why? Because the Rambam is telling us, and we'll get to the real why later on, but the Rambam is telling us that apparently you can only get malchus for something which is explicit in the pasuk. If it's something is from Torah Shebal Peh, you won't get malchus for it. Now, the assumption here is, that we're making is that if one of these Yisurim is Pshut HaShemikra and the others are not, then one will get Malkos and the others won't, as opposed to the Ramban before, which we said assumes all of the Lav and Shebechlelos, no matter which one you're looking at, won't get Malkos. That's a major debate even in the Rambam. But we'll see soon. Bli Neder, I think it's Meduyuk, and it just sounds fancier to say Meduyuk. I think it's Mefurish in the Rambam in Perish Mishnayos and in other places that the Rambam certainly does think this way, that if you have one that's Pshut HaMikra, you give Malkos for that. But the point being, the Ramban gives one explanation, the Rambam gives another. The Rambam thinks that the explanation of Lav Shel Klalos is Pata from Malkos is because all of those extra Lavim are all Torah Shebal Peh. Now, we know Ben Sora Mora does receive Malkos, correct? The Ben Sora Mora does receive Malkos. So he does the Achila Hasura, the Azhar is from L'Sechel Adam, and he gets Malkos for this. So Tosfos and Sanhedrin there ask, don't we see from here that the Lav Shebechlalos does get Malkos? So obviously that's not true. The answer is that the Lav Shebechlalos does not get Malkos. But what would come out over here is that the Rambam wouldn't have a problem with it. He also gets Misa. The first step is V'Yisru. They give him a set of Malkos. But you're right that it leads to Misa. Correct. So, but initially he does get Malkos. So, but it's a Lav Shebechlalos. It includes not for bringing by a pit of blood. And it includes not eating on the day of a Misa's basin. It includes so many things. It's a Lav Shebechlalos. So what would the Rambam tell us? So this I've seen, you know, in writing even, but heard from Rav Schechter that he assumed, unless I'm misunderstanding, he assumed the Rambam will have a very simple way out of this. The Rambam will say, there's one Pshut HaShemikra over here. Lo Soch La'aldam. The Pshut HaShemikra is Azhara LeBen Sora Mora. So a Ben Sora Mora does get Malkos. And everyone else, any other case of Lo Soch La'aldam, doesn't get Malkos. So when you have your Frappuccino before davening tomorrow, you're not going to get lashed for it. You're not going to get whipped for it. But if you're doing the Lav Ben Sora Mora, that's explicit in the Pasuk. So that one is the one exception that does get Malkos. If that's true, that that's the Pshat in the Rambam over here, then it's against the Ramban that we said earlier. The Ramban told us that in terms of what the Pshut HaShemikra is, Lo Soch La'adam is referring to this case sitting around the pit and eating and getting Doresh Asidos from the other fake other worlds, is Lo Soch La'adam is the Pshut HaShemikra. The Rambam is, according to this, apparently assuming that the Pshut HaShemikra is Ben Sora Mora, and you get Malkos for Ben Sora Mora and nothing else. However, it seems like it's not shaykh to say that in the Shita Sarambam for multiple reasons. One of them, which maybe I'm misunderstanding this, I'm leaving that open, is that in Chelek Gimel Amar Nevuchim, when the Rambam discusses and explains this pasuk of Lo Soch La'adam, he offers one explanation of the pasuk. He says the pasuk of Lo Soch La'adam means, I'll read it for you, Kein Aser Lehiskanes Svivo V'Lechol Sham, about a pit of blood that you're doing sorcery for. So the Rambam says the Ramban's pshat in the pasuk of Lo Soch La'adam in the Mor Nevuchim. So it seems like he assumes that's the pshat in the mitzvah. That's the real core mitzvah over here. So what is the answer then? Why do you get Malkos? Doesn't that prove that it's Pshut HaMikra for the Rambam? So the answer is no. We learned this last year. The Malkos of a Ben Sora Mora are not necessarily the same type of Malkos of everything else. In regular cases, you get a warning from the Torah. The Torah says don't do something, and if you violate the Ratzon HaTorah, you get Malkos. By the Ben Sora Mora, there's an Isser of being a Ben Sora Mora, but the Malkos are part of the Hanhaga. The Malkos are part of the warning and the setup for the whole case of Ben Sora Mora. They're not, the Malkos are not an Onesh on the fact that he ate. The Malkos are part of the process of that leads to, as Avi pointed out, that leads to eventually a Misa, but it's the start of a longer process of dealing with Ben Sora Mora. It's not an Onesh on a Lav. And therefore, it's not a classic case over here of a Lav Shebechlalos that you get Malkos for. There's a Lav Shebechlalos of Lo Soch La'adam. Separately, a Ben Sora Mora gets Malkos for Yisro, so that he gets a Malkos. So it's not really a Raya one way or the other. If that's the case, then let's look back at the pasuk. Lo Soch La'adam. So the Rambam says that anything that's Pshut HaShemikra would get Malkos, and anything that's not Pshut HaShemikra doesn't get Malkos. Okay, new. So which one's Pshut HaShemikra? We gave you five different Pshatim. Which one's the real Pshat in the pasuk? So, if you look in the Kesef Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, but you'll see in a second, the Rambam says it himself, the Kesef Mishnah in the 12th parak of Avodah Zarah says when it comes to Lo Soch La'adam, it's not clear which one's the core pasuk. There is no Pshut HaShemikra by Lo Soch La'adam, and therefore, everything is Torah Shebal Peh, and nothing should get Malkos. But it's not the Kesef Mishnah is Chiddush. Look in source number 4, the Rambam in Perish Mishnayis, when he discusses Lav Shebechlalos in Paragimel, the Rambam writes, I think I put it here, yeah. Lav echad kol trei plasa yisurik on amaro lo soch la'adam. Next bold, ein lokan al echad mehen. You don't get malchus on any of them, says the Rambam. Shehu klal kolal yisurim harbe, because it included so many different yisurim. The ein echad mehen beferish k Kedesha no marlokin al zeh. Isn't it mefurish here in the Rambam? So the Rambam says you don't get malchus for any of the losoch la'adams. Why don't you get malchus for any of the losoch la'adams? Because none of them are mefurish enough to give malchus for. So it proves two things: one, none of them are mefurish enough to give malchus for, and two, if one of them was mefurish to give malchus for, you would give malchus. So the Rambam here is I don't think it's black on white, and it's even underlined and bolded. How did everyone miss this? The Rambam here is mefurish. The Rambam says that if a person has a pasuk that has many meanings, and one of them is the pshuto shemikra, the Torah Shabbat Peh doesn't get malchus, but the one of the Lash B'Klaus that is Mefurish B'Kra, that's explicit in the pasuk, that's pshuto shemikra, that taga does get malchus. It just happens to be that, like, by L'Soch La'adam, we don't have such an example, we don't have such a case. If you want, just in terms of the machlokas, Rambam, Ramban, so I think the way to say it, the difference of opinion here, is that for the Ramban, the words Lav Shebechlalos mean that it's an inclusive Lav. Meaning it's a lav shebechlalos. It's a lav which includes many other lavin. It's an inclusive lav. For the Rambam, lav shebechlalos means an included lav. Yichat? A lav shebechlalos means an inclusive lav. For the Ramban, it includes many things, therefore none of them get malchus. For the Rambam, lav shebechlalos means an included lav. A lav by inclusion. A lav which is included within the Torah is now not going to get malchus. But a lav in the Torah that includes other things does get malchus as long as it's in the Torah. As long as it's mefurish b'kra, as long as it's explicit, it does get malchus. That seems to be the Shitas HaRambam. Again, there is an Arichas Ne'achronim, but it seems mefurish in the Shitas HaRambam over here. It helps resolve a little bit of a difficulty, Minei Uvei, in the Rambam, because the Rambam, again, the whole Arichas is in Shoresh Tes in Sefer HaMitzvah. So the Rambam there says there are Shnei Minei, there are two Sugs, there are two types of lav shebechlalos. One is a lav which includes many yisurim, that's what we've been discussing until now, but the Rambam says there's also another type of lav shebechlalos, which is when one lav comes and prohibits a bunch of things, meaning, don't do this, and this, and this. Al tochel menu na, uvashel mevoshel, kiyem tzliyesh, right? The pasuk says, don't do this, and this, and this. That's also a type, says the Rambam, of lav shebechlalos. So one type of lav shebechlalos is a lav hakolel, a lav which includes many things. And another type of lav shebechlalos is one low that's going on multiple words in the Torah, multiple isurim in the Torah. Don't do this and this and this. Al soch lemenu na, vashal mevushal, b'mayim, ki im tzliyesh. Fine. So the Rambam tells us there in Shoresh Tes that both those cases, either you don't get malchus or you don't get multiple sets of malchus. Again, major machlokas, Amorayim, Rishonim, Girsos, in those Rishonim, tons of things to talk about over here. But basically, it's called the Lav Shebechlalos in that case as well. Why is that called the Lav Shebechlalos? Why would someone not get Malkos or not get multiple Malkos for Al Toch Lomen No, Vashal Mavushal B'mayim Kim Tzliyesh? So the Rambam tells us the answer to that question. You have a little bit of it in source number 5. The Rambam tells us that that the Man Damar that you don't get Malkos or you don't get multiple sets of Malkos is because the Pasuk says Al Toch Menu No, and Vashal Mavushal. Don't eat it raw, and don't eat it cooked. But it doesn't say it explicitly. Rather, says the Rambam, he's in Perishim Shnayis, and also in the Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam says, it's a lav hanilkach miklala. Or, halav hasheni is miklala yotzei, v'hu lav shebechlalos. Meaning, the pasuk doesn't say, don't eat it raw, don't eat it cooked. The Torah says, don't eat it raw, nor cooked. Don't eat it raw and cooked. So the Torah says, don't eat it raw, and the implication is that the don't is also going on the cook, but it doesn't say it. It doesn't say that it's going on the cook. So it's not explicit in the pasuk that the Torah is saying don't eat it cooked. It's only explicit in the pasuk that it's saying don't eat it raw. The cooked is taka true, but it's mechlala itmar. It's learned mechlal, the fact that it says over here by raw, it also is going back onto cooked. That's what the idea is. And the Rambam seems to be saying that he's like apologizing. The term lav shebechlalos usually means inclusive. But over here it doesn't mean inclusive, it means that it comes by way of. It means it's dragged along with the other pshat in the pasuk. So, like this, you read the Rambam, you say, what are you talking about? These are two completely different things. Lav shebechlalos, the way we think of it, losoch la'adam, means one pasuk that references many different things. And a lav shebechlalos of the second type that the Rambam is mentioning to us, that you have al toich lemenu na, uvashal mevushal, is a totally different thing. It means that the second isser is implied. It doesn't mean that the second isser is included. It doesn't mean that it's a lav shebechlalos. There's not a million things going on over here. It's a different yesod in general, entirely. But apparently what the Rambam understood is exactly what we said, exactly as we said it. Lo soch la'adam is a lav shebechlalos, not because there's so many yisurim. Lo soch la'adam is a lav shebechlalos because the yisurim are not mefurish. You only get malchus on something that's mefurish b'kra. You only get malchus on something that's explicit in the pasuk. A lav shebechlalos includes many yisurim that are not mefurish pasuk. It doesn't matter to the Rambam. The yisod is not bechlalos. The yisod is actually mechlala. the yesod, even for the first type of lav shebichlalos, is the fact that all of these things are being learnt from implication. That it's not that it's an inclusive lav, but it's a lav which is included within other lavim. That's the issue of lav shebichlalos. Vein echad mehem beferish kedesh nomer lokan al zesh nesparish malkos echas kederach shamarne bechadashu v'pesach, says the Rambam, like we said before, that if you had it explicit, then you would get malkos. But lav shebichlalos tells you that no, these things aren't explicit, that's why you don't get malkos. So these two types of lav shebichlalos really do flow one to the other. They fit into the same package of shorash tests, and it's not a problem that the Rambam lists them together there and in malkos. So this machlokas rishonim of Rambam and Ramban, it expresses itself in many other sugyas. Rav Shechter has an Eretz HaTzvi, a really important and very clear piece on this topic, and he quotes the Tosfos in Maseches Sanhedrin on Samach Gimel, not the one we mentioned before, where Tosfos asks, how can there be malchus for violating any of the lamites malachos on Yontif? The pasuk says, you have in source number 7, sorry, the pasuk says in kom lech zavod lo sasu, or that you can't do malacha on yantiv. And then we learn 39 malachos that are involved in included in those in that pasuk. So it's one pasuk that includes many yisurim. So isn't that a lav shebichlalos? So Tosfos Pirkei Kasha, how do you get malchus for malachos on yantiv? So Rav Shechter points out that the Rishonim answer this question different ways, but lechora they're going in these two opinions in how to learn lav shebichlalos. The Ramban addresses this, and some of the Baalei Tosfos say this as well. The Ramban says that it's not the pshat over here that the malachos and yantif are each independent isurim that are being included within the pasuk of don't do malacha. No, there's one isur, there's one shem isur of malacha. Don't do malacha and yantif. And here's 39 ways you could violate that isur. There's 39 ways that you could violate the isur, but there's no separate isur for each one of those things. If each one was a separate isur, then maybe you have to say, whoa, there's 39 isurim being included in one pasuk. But no, it's not 39 separate isurim. It's 39 different actions by which you can violate the one isur of don't do malacha on yantif. We don't have time to get into it now, but this is obviously taking a stance on the Tosfos Chaim's famous Tosfos Rid, about whether malachas on Shabbos are gufan muchlakim or shameless muchlakim. Rotorsky at the time had a shot in the Tosfos Rid that could save it from this kasha. But if you say that all the Yisurim are separate Yisurim and they're just being plugged into this pasuk of don't do malacha, then lechora it's a problem. Why isn't it lav shebichlalos? There's an answer to that question. But lechora it's a problem of lav shebichlalos. But the Ramban says that's not what's going on over here. There's one shame Isser. There's an Isser malach and yantiv, and there's 39 ways to violate that Isser. So it's not a lav shebichlalos bichlal. That's the Ramban's answer. Tosfos in Maseches Sanhedrin answer differently. Tosfos say, no, when the pasuk says, don't do malach on yantif, it's so clear that it means these 39 things that it's as if the pasuk said all 39 things. You hear Tosfos' answer? The Ramban says it's not a lav shebichlalos because there's not 39 things, there's only one thing. Tosfos say no, there's 39 things, but they're all said in the pasuk. It's as if that pasuk condensed 39 malachos into a couple of words. It's an unbelievable thing that pasuk accomplished. In the Pshuta Shemikra, Kol Malach Zavoda was able to accomplish telling us 39 different things in one shot. So the Rav Shechter explains is that they're arguing about exactly this idea, the Rambam and the Ramban's idea. What's a lav shebichlalos? For the Ramban, a lav shebichlalos is when you include a lot of things. So how is yantif not a lav shebichlalos? You're including a lot of malachos. Answer, it's not really a lot of malachos. It's just one malacha with 39 ways to accomplish it. But say Tosfos and Sanhedrin, like the Rambam, no. Lav shebichlalos means that unless it's mefurish b'kra, unless it's explicit in the pasuk, you don't get malchus. So the answer to the question, how is yantif malachos, how is lamites malachos not a lav shebichlalos, has to be that, no, you find them all in the psukim. What do you mean you find them all in the psukim? Oh, apparently, kol malachas avoda is so explicit that it says, if all 39 malachas are written in the pasuk, so even the Rambam will say you get malchus, and it's not a lav shebichlalos, because it's all mefurish b'kra. Rav Shechter gives multiple other examples in the Rishonim where they clearly do learn like the Rambam. One very important one in source number 8 is that we have an isser of eating nosar. So we have an isser of eating hanosar menu, that basar that was left over from kachim. There's an isser to eat it. Okay, nosar is lav shebichlalos. The isser of achilas nosar is a different isser. So you can't eat the nosar. By extension, the Gemara learns that we also have an isser of eating all kachim that were nistame, that were nispagel, and different ways of passling the karbon. So do you get malchus for this isser? So the Tosfos here on Chaf Dalet and Pesachim, the Hikshar Rabbeinu Rabbi Elazar Mitz, to be elu hein lokin in makos amar the lav the nosar pigel who have a bechlal halokin v'amai v'hal lav shebichlalos who isn't nosar lav shebichlalos? It includes tamei meat. It includes it. There's a million things that are included. There's a few different ways you could pass a carbon that you can't eat afterwards. So how do you know that even if it's nosar, you do get malchus if you eat it? It's a lav shebichlalos. So Tosfos' answer v'tirates or the Reim answers v'tirates the lagabe nosar shemefurish behedya. Dichsiv, it says in the pasuk, burn it and don't eat it. That's not considered a lav shebichlalos. You hear? That's like the Rambam, right? Again, that even though it's true there's a lav shebichlolos here, but Tosfos saying this is a lav shebichlolos. But nosar, out of all of those lavin that are nichlal in this iser, nosar, the leftover meat, is explicit that you can't eat it if it's nosar. So even though this is generally lav shebichlolos, if you have one iser within there that's mefurish bikra, that one does get malchus and the rest of them don't. And the rest of them don't. So Tosfos mefurish, the way the Rambam is saying, and the way we're medayik, that it's clear. The Rambam held this way as well in Sefer Mitzvos and in the Perish Mishnayis. Yeah, so why is this? Why is it that a lav, which is a Torah Shebechsav, gets Malkos, and a lav, which is Torah Shebechsav, doesn't get Malkos? So we all know from Rav Shechter, again, it's in Eretz Yisrael also, the Mekubalim say that Torah Shebechsav was given with Midas Hadin, and Torah Shebechsav was given with Midas HaRachim, and Midas HaChesed. Torah Shebechsav was engraved in the stone. Torah Shebechsav is Pareach Ba'avir. It's more loving, it's more... it has more leniencies in general. Safik halacha moshe misina l'kula. When you have halacha moshe misina, you darshan it l'kula, always the Russian pavakama. There's a lot of marmakomas, but the mekubalim explain it al derech their kabbalah. Al derech nigla, it seems that another mahalach comes out of our Rambam, and it's something we've spoken about in the past. It's well known and accepted, and again, we've spoken about it, that even though drushos, mitarash bal peh, are absolutely, without a question, daraisa, they're certainly biblical in nature, every one of the midrash ha'tarna dreshes behind comes out to be a din daraisa, even so, we do find that there's a difference between something that's mefurish b'kra, something that's explicit in the pasuk, and something which comes out of a drasha. We spoke about it in the context of minyan hamitzos, and we spoke about it in that context in terms of esdech halosase and so many other nafka minas. But it's not only in minyan hamitzos and whether it counts as a mitzvah, but it seems to go even further than that. An iser, which is mefurish b'kra, is apparently also more chamer than an iser, which is only learned out from the pasuk, only with quotation marks, that is only learned out from the psukim, a drasha. Example, we have the din, the Ran in Maseches Beitza, the din that motiv shi'shogem al yumei zidim, that you shouldn't tell someone not to do something better, they should just do it by accident. So the Ran, the Rama picks up in Shulchan Aruch, the Ran says, that's only true if it's not mefurish b'kra. If it's something that's mefurish in the psukim, it's so chamer, you can't just leave them be. There are other, you know, marmakomas about this that are clear, that a mefurish b'kra is much more chamer than something that's darshened out from the psukim, even though it's also daraisa. Why is that? Where does that come from? So you look in source number 9. I think we had occasion to talk about this too, right? In Yevamos Chabur, as we spoke about this, Rabbi Chanan tells us exactly the pshat over here. He says it's clear. Even so, they're more lenient. They're lesser in terms of their severity than things which are mefurish that are explicit in the Torah. V'taymo shel davar, pashit, misvara. Kevich anu rom sh'atorah ericha, b'davar zeh, yoser mechavero, mistam, uchash v'yoser. The Torah is spending so much time and effort and so many words to discuss this iser. Obviously, it's a chamer iser. Obviously, it cares about it. So many things it says with so few words. It says in such brief terms. Here, it's going out of its way and saying it explicitly as opposed to just alluding to it and hinting at it. So, Torah Shebal Peh, you learn it out from there, it's daraisa. When it's explicit in the pasuk, that means the Torah took pains to spell this iser out. Clearly, the Torah thinks this is a more chamer dika iser. Mefurish b'kra, if it's explicit, why would you leave in the middle? If it's mefurish b'kra, if it's explicit in the pasuk, then it's obviously more chamer, obviously more severe. So that's gevaldik, and that's the beginning of the thing that accounts for the Rambam Shita, that you only get malchus from mefurish b'kra. You don't get malchus for something that's teresh bal peh. Something that's mefurish b'kra is more chamer. Something that's bal peh is not as chamer. Of course, lav shebichlolos is somewhat unique in being an example of this. On the one hand, there's a pasuk. A pasuk says lo sech la'adam. On the other hand, or whatever, or lifnei ver l'sitei michshol. On the other hand, that pasuk is then understood to imply many actions. So is it considered mefurish b'kra? It's not mefurish b'kra. So we already saw the Rambam, that all these things are drashos, and they're not mefurish b'kra. But Rabbi Cooperman has, I put some of it in source number 10 over here, Rabbi Cooperman has in his Pshuto Shemikra, a very, very interesting approach that accounts for the logic of what we're talking about, and then actually might apply to the Shita Sarambam very specifically as well. He basically explains that when a person has a lav that gets malchus, so there are two things that have to happen. There's an isser in the Torah that says don't do something, which means that the ratzon Hashem is that you not do this, A. B, you then do it in a blatant way. If you're missing on either of those factors, A, the ratzon Hashem isn't there, or B, you didn't do it in such a blatant, egregious way, you won't be chayav malchus. So for example, on the second thing, let's say the ratzon Hashem is that you shouldn't do such and such thing, but that doesn't involve a maisa, it doesn't involve an action. So even though it's true that the Torah says don't do it, and there's 100% ratzon Hashem, you didn't really do a full action, so you can't get malchus for that, okay? But then there are cases in which even if you do a full act, since the Ratzon Hashem is less than you would need in order to qualify for Malkos, therefore there's not going to be Malkos if you violate that Isser. So even though the Daraisa level is still there, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to do this, there's levels of how much he wants you to do something. We saw in Rabbi Chanan. He writes in a pasuk, that means he wants you not to do it 100%. He doesn't write in the pasuk, it means he doesn't want you to do it as much, but qualitatively, it's less chamer. So the way Rabbi Kuperman says, with almost like a mashal, he says, think about it like this. You need to violate a law worth 100 points in order to get Malkos, okay? So if the pasuk says, don't do this, and you do it, bishat nefesh, you know, biadayim, b'maisa, so then what happens? You get Malkos. Okay, but let's say you don't do it actively, you don't get Malkos, fine. But additionally, says Rabbi Kuperman, if it's not 100 points of Isser, not 100 points of Ratzon Hashem, you're not going to get Malkos either. When do you ever have Ratzon Hashem that's not 100 points? So he said when you have a Lav Shebichlalos. What happens is, the Pshutel Shemikra says, don't, lo sochlu al hadam. What does that mean? Well, it actually means six things. It means six, oh, let's do five things for me. It means five things, which means the Torah is saying five things in this Pasuk, which means each one's worth 20 points. You split up the Pshutel Shemikra into 20 points each, right? Yeah, five, right? Five, and so 20 times five is 100. So you have 100 points of Ratzon Hashem over here, and he split it up, he spread it out over five different Yisurim. So each of those Yisurim is bad. Nobody wants to get 20 points negative on their Cheshbon against Hashem, but it's not quite enough to qualify for Malkos. So Lav Shebichlalos patters you from Malkos because none of those violations are enough to get you to the standard of having violated 100 points of Ratzon Hashem to now get Malkos for doing so. This is a pretty incredible way of putting it, but what he's saying is that the Pshut HaShemikra has halacha l'maisa ramifications over here. Hashem chose to say five Yisurim in one Pasuk, which means he thinks those five Yisurim are worth one Pasuk. One Pasuk is worth 100 points, which means you're going to have to split this up evenly between five different Yisurim within this one Pasuk. So if you violate any of them, it's bad, but it's not enough to give you Malkos. That explanation only gets us so far, though, because the Rambam had a middle Shita. The Rambam's Shita was, no, if imagine one of the things was Pshut HaShemikra and Losoch La'adam, so that one would get Malkos, and everything else wouldn't get Malkos. But what do you mean? It's spread out over all the Yisurim. So how does Rabbi Kuperman account for that? So he actually says this. I was thinking this, and then I found it earlier in the Sefer in a different section. So in source number 10, I put a few there. But he doesn't say it in the Rambam. He says it in Tosfos, because I probably didn't learn the Rambam the same way we did. But he says it in Tosfos. So he says that when it comes to Pshut HaShemikra, so he says not all of the Yisurim are created equally. So when it comes to a certain Pasuk, let's say Nosar, it says you can't eat Nosar. You also can't eat something that became Tameh or Pigle. You can't eat a bunch of things. So it's a Lav Shebichlalos. So 100 points get split up over, you know, five different Yisurim. Each one's worth 20. But, hold up a second, says Tosfos. One of those Yisurim is explicit in the Pasuk. Nosar is Ksid Behedja. So Nosar is worth the same as Tameh? No, Nosar's got a few more points than Tameh. Nosar's probably worth 75. And then you split up the rest of it amongst everything else. You understand? If something is Pshut HaShemikra within that list of Lav Shebichlalos, that thing has the most points. It has the most Chamiris out of all of these Surim. So therefore, the qualification is not necessarily 100. The qualification is 75 or 50 or whatever the number is. And the rest of the Chamiris gets spread out over the rest of the Surim. But not all the Surim were created equally. So if you have one that's Pshut HaShemikra, then you have enough to go on, then that's going to get Malkos. The rest of them are not going to get Malkos because they're spread out over the course of one Pasuk. So many Yisurim that each one is diluted to the point that it's not enough Ratzon Hashem that you're going against in order to deserve Malkos, which again fits with Rabbi Chanan, but with this unique way of saying it that Rabbi Kuperman has. Either way, I think the Shita is Mavur. Again, he doesn't say this in the Rambam. He says it in Taisus. But I think the Shita is Mavur in the Rambam, that the Rambam does think that a Lav Shebichlalos gets Malkos, presuming that you're talking about a Lav that's Mefurish Bekra. That Lav Shebichlalos doesn't get Malkos means that whatever is not Mefurish Bekra doesn't get Malkos. That's the Yesod in the Rambam everywhere. That Mefurish Bekra gets Malkos and not Mefurish Bekra doesn't get Malkos. And Lav Shebichlalos has a few Yisurim in it which aren't Mefurish Bekra. But if you find within those Yisurim one which is Mefurish Bekra, that Taka would get Malkos and have all the Chamiris of an Isser Daraisa that does get Malkos. Okay, so we'll stop here. Shkaya.